CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The Secretary of State, Mr. Anthony Blinken, in these last hours. Our message now for any Americans in Ukraine is to strongly consider leaving. At the same time, the Secretary, in an address to the nation and to the State Department media, characterized the written response to Moscow that Mr. Lavrov and his boss, Mr. Putin, have been asking for these last weeks. Financial Times reporting out of London. The U.S. and NATO told Moscow they were committed to keeping the transatlantic alliance open to new members, rebuffing a central Russian security demand in written responses that could determine the outcome of the Ukraine crisis. John Bolton, former National Security Advisor to the President of the United States, former Ambassador to the United Nations to the President of the United States, two different administrations. John, a very good evening to you. The written response, no. The remark by the Secretary, I advise Americans to get out of Ukraine. These can be harbingers. At the same time, you use, in most recent article in the New York Post, the metaphor of chessboard. Who are the players in this chess game, and how are they moving their pieces about now that we've had a written response? Good evening to you, John.
Good evening. Well, it's a pretty full board, I have to say, and a lot of pieces are on there that are not normal in chess games, which makes it even more interesting. But I think the Biden administration continues to stumble here, and I worry that every time that happens, it's another signal to Putin that whatever his objective turns out to be, the cost of getting it may be worth the effort. You know, to say to diplomatic families were ordering your departure, which the administration has already done, is a very significant step. Then to say to American citizens, private citizens there doing business or visiting relatives or whatever the case may be, to urge them to leave is really even more significant because while there's no power to make them leave, it's in effect a warning that the U.S. government can't protect you if things go badly. Now, the reaction of the Ukrainian government to this has been boiling hot. They've tried to cover it up in public, saying our views here on the prospects are essentially the same. But they're saying inside the Ukraine government, this is the Biden administration's Afghanistan syndrome showing. So it's very dangerous, and I think it shows more tension within the alliance. I think Putin, to come to the chessboard metaphor, continues to play a game of grand strategy here. He's got a lot of pieces he's moving around, and he has a lot of options. We're obviously all focused on a potential for invasion of Ukraine by Russia, and that may happen to take all or part of it. That certainly may happen. But there may be other things, some related to Ukraine, some related to other countries in Eastern and Central Europe or Central Asia that Putin may have in mind.
As I understand it, Mr. Putin's ambition is to undermine or degrade NATO. What does that look like right now, John? And I note the German dissent from some of these decisions in these last days.
Right. Well, that is the highest strategic level at which Putin is playing. And notwithstanding the rhetoric of President Biden and others that we're completely united in NATO and that if Putin invades, there'll be swift and severe sanctions, it's evident in full public view that that's not true, that the Germans don't agree, that they don't agree on sanctions regarding Nord Stream 2. And maybe most important of all, they're not willing to take steps now that impose cost on Russia. It's all the promise of punishment for Russia after they come across the border. And that's part of deterrence. But as we've discussed before, Putin doesn't believe these threats. The same kinds of threats were made to him in 2014 when he took Crimea and in effect took Eastern Ukraine, and he escaped with minimal cost. I think he may be wrong on this, but I think Putin believes he can escape again.
In history, it always comes to the diplomats. War fighting must come to the diplomats. Right now, John, what do the NATO diplomats need that they're not carrying in councils with the Russian diplomats?
Well, I think right now this is like sending out a bunch of butter knives to deal with an army of steak knives. There's no force really behind what the NATO diplomats are saying. The president himself took American forces off the table weeks ago and reiterated it yesterday. We know the German military is in trouble. They just fired their top naval officer for essentially saying Putin deserves a little more respect here. No wonder the German Navy isn't feared these days. So again, it's a question of a lot of rhetoric on the part of the Washington government and NATO, but in Putin's eyes, palpable evidence of NATO's both capabilities and intentions is that its capabilities are weak compared to his, and their intentions are far from united.
In your New York Post piece, you quote the president, who perhaps inadvertently, perhaps intentionally, said NATO is not going to take in Ukraine anytime in the next few decades. End quote. Isn't that what Moscow's asking? Isn't that sufficient, John?
Well, it would be, but they're afraid to put that down on paper because it will be giving Russia, as you said, the central demand that they want. And I want to say there's a lot of talk out there about, oh, come on, you know, we all know Ukraine isn't going to qualify for NATO for a long time. It's full of corruption and its democracy is imperfect. Look, we're not organizing a Boy Scout summer camp jamboree here. NATO is a collective defense alliance. George W. Bush advocated bringing Ukraine and Georgia into NATO on a fast track in April of 2008. And by the way, when we admitted almost every single Central and Eastern European country after the collapse of the Soviet Union, these countries were not corruption-free, let's be honest with ourselves, nor in those early days after the collapse of the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact, were we sure what their democratic status was going to be. We admitted them because it suited us, it benefited us, and that's the situation Ukraine's in. So to give it away the way Biden did, or to admit that Russia effectively has a veto over, would be a huge strategic mistake.
Warships, warplanes, all in motion. Combatant units on call or in motion. NATO detailing its deployment across this vast landscape. It looks like escalation, John. Escalation has its own logic. Is this out of hand? Can we tell when it gets out of hand and it can't be turned off?
Well, I don't think it's out of hand on our side yet, because all that we're talking about is deployments to existing NATO members. So, for example, President Biden authorized 8,500 troops to be on standby alert, but that's for deployment to Poland or the Baltic republics or elsewhere. It's not to go into Ukraine. So that's to take up effectively defensive position. The maneuvers that are problematic here and that are worrying and that continue are the maneuverings of the Russians, whose troops around the border of Ukraine are estimated to be between 100 and 175,000. That's a lot of people.
A chess move. We're told that Mr. Putin was in conversation with Diaz-Canel, the dictator of Havana. Is that a chess move, John? Is that check coming back at the U.S. Talking about deploying Russian forces to Havana?
Yeah, look, this has been something that's been speculated about for a long time. This is a reversal, by the way, by Russia of the deal by which the Cuban Missile Crisis was ended, where we committed not to overthrow Fidel Castro, and they committed not to have Russian forces or weapons or submarines or the rest in Cuba. And, you know, the speculation has been that that Putin would be willing to again say he wouldn't put troops in Cuba if he could get a comparable compromise on Ukraine, basically trading one for the other. Now, of course, Putin has caused the crisis in Ukraine, and Putin has caused the crisis, if one happens, in Cuba. It's a pattern. He's very good at this. He creates a crisis and then gracefully makes a concession to accept what he wanted to begin with to end the crisis.
John Bolton, writing in the New York Post, former National Security Advisor. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.